MSU is home to the largest library comic collection in the world. Scholars from all over make the journey to the basement of the university's main library to analyze the works. Kern State's Emmanuel Berry joined Randy Scott, who was in charge of the collection, for a tour. Scott explains that the collection started after an MSU professor made a donation.
In 1970, thereabouts, 69 or 70, that school year, a professor named Russell Nye was teaching a popular culture course and writing a book on popular culture, and he decided he would donate the comics that came out of that experience and that he strong-armed his students into donating. And so 6,000 comics came popping in here in 1970, and nobody knew what to do with them. I wasn't here. I didn't get here till 74, at which time somebody stole Spider-Man number one. I was upstairs as a typist. I wasn't working down here. Mm-hmm. But when I heard that, I read that in the state news. I came down here and volunteered. I said, we need to do some security. And so we figured out a ownership stamp to put on all the comics so the dealers wouldn't resell them right away if somebody else did this. Nothing's been stolen since. That's 1973, yeah.
Where did the comics in this collection come from? Where are they at country-wise? And, yeah, where do you get your comics from?
Well, they're still 90% or more donated. And I get tons. I'm leaning against a big donation right now. And every year, especially around tax time, somebody who's got a big collection tends to turn up with several thousand comics. 10,000 would be a good average number for a good December. They do all the paperwork, and they take a tax deduction, and we're off and running. I've got a year's work. Our collection is from all over the world, and we also have things about comics, books about comics, magazines about comics, and that's where I spend the money. I do have a budget, and I buy foreign comics, and I buy things that are about comics, because those don't tend to get donated.
Who uses this collection? Is it mainly students coming down here, and what are they using the collection for?
Well, our largest number of users is MSU undergrads, and that's, of course, our mission, is to service the MSU community. Some of them are just here for recreation. That's not actually that often. They come here because there's a comic. More and more there are classes that are requiring comics be read. Ooh, that's so amazing to me, because when I started this, there were only two books about comic books ever written, and one of them was against them, saying that they were evil and they were like drugs. And now there's a new book about comics at least every month, and if you count books from France and Italy and Spain, there's a book a week coming out about comics, big, solid, many of them academic press books about comics. And a good handful of those have been written or partly written here. People come from all over the world to read our comics and to study them and to write their books or their dissertations. So that's the second most interesting group of users. There's the undergrads who do their stuff, they write their term papers, or they enjoy their Batman, which there's nothing wrong with that. I'm really for that. And then there are the scholars who get a little grant and come here from wherever. We've had a couple of young students from France and England over the last year. And their perspective on our comics is, interesting to me, because they were here to look at 1950s comics, and I hadn't really realized that those would be so important in their studies of what the Cold War was like and what society was like during the 1950s. That's why I've been buying a lot of 1950s comics lately.
Can we take a little look at the collection?
We just got a nice box of North Korean comics. Can you believe it?
North Korean comics? What are they? Have you looked at any of them yet?
We can walk by them. They're a mixture. There's fantasy and there's history and there's, I don't know what I expected, but I can't read a word, but there's quite a variety. We've got about 40 of them. So yeah, I ran out of space. So here's where the North Korean comics ended up. And I don't know. I don't.
Well,
have
here's any. We got the U.S. here. This guy's on the cover, and
well, yeah,
he looks like he's in pain.
American soldier, he's sweating blood. I would have to
say.
Yeah,
that's what it looks like.
And there's a lot of swords.
A lot of swords. This one looks maybe a little romantic, perhaps.
Mm-hmm. Well, we need a Korean cataloger. There are lots of people who could help me translate this, but I would like to get it done professionally so we can have, you know, what we call full-level cataloging, so we can really tell the world that we have it and we know what it is.
Yeah, and someone could come
now,
and
I don't know what it is.
Come and write a book about Korean culture through comic books.
Oh,
come
yeah,
to MSU.
Sure. Yeah, we've got hundreds of South Korean comics, so, you know, we're ready for you. Here's one of the favorite French westerns. That's Lieutenant Blueberry.
Okay.
Lieutenant
Blueberry.
This is in English. Okay. This is an English version. But, you know, there we are in the web. That's the, you know, we open the book. It's got to be, I think they're talking northern Mexico, but it looks like the landscape of the Four Corners area in New Mexico. This is called the Blue Coats. Let's see if I can find one in English. Yeah, there's an English one.
Navy Blues.
It takes place during the Civil War, but it is a Western in that they're always roaming around away from the battlefield doing Western-type stuff.
What is Europe's obsession with the American West? In Germany they have Captain, Winnetou and...
Oh, you know Winnetou.
Yeah.
Cool. That's Karl May was like one of the most successful kids authors of German literature, and a lot of his stories have been translated, the Western ones particularly. He wrote stuff about everywhere in the world. They've been translated into comics, mostly by people in Belgium and Spain, not by Germans, but they sell well in Germany. So yeah, Karl May, Winnetou, we have lots of Winnetou.
Nach dem sensationellen Erfolg der beiden ersten Winnetou-Filme erleben Sie nun den absoluten Höhepunkt, einer der schönsten Erzählungen von Karl May. Winnetou steht gemeinsam mit den Häuptlingen befreundeter Stämme.
What's one of the oldest comics you have in here?
We have something from the 1840s. According to most Europeans and a lot of scholars the world around, comics started in Switzerland in the 1840s. By a guy named Rudolf Töpfer, who was a novelist and a travelogue writer and a playwright and an all-around, you know, literary guy. He got this idea that he would publish these little books. They were basically pictures with a few captions, and they were silly stories. And they were self-published as books, just like, almost like we think of as comic books. And we are lucky enough to have... somewhere about here. You're supposed to look in the catalog when you look for comics. You're not supposed to come running in here and expect to find things.
I trust you, though. You're the expert.
So this one, 18? We don't know, I guess, exactly when this was published. It was probably rebound. I don't think it had this hardcover binding when it was first published. I'm sure it didn't.
Oh, wow.
Well, this is what his stories looked like, and this was collected by the grandfather of a professor in 1893 on a trip to Paris, and his grandson donated them to us in the late 1950s. But there is some idea that the first comic book published in America may have been a translation of one of his works. Yeah, also done in the 1840s. We don't have that, but we have a facsimile of that sitting here somewhere.
Wow.
And at some point, a light should come on so we can get in there.
There we go.
And we're now in the golden age. These are comic books that started in the 30s and 40s. In three, and we walk right past Wonder Woman.
This is the first issue of Wonder Woman.
That's what it looks like. Take a picture.
Now, what's your story, lady?
Story? Well, I know a few myths, but...
Oh, a joker, huh? Okay. Suppose we start with your name.
Wonder Woman.
Sure. That's the last name, Woman. First name, Wonder, right?
There's a certificate of insurance. It was taken out for an exhibit at some time. In 2004. It was insured, summer 42. It was insured for $1,000.
Wow.
If it was Superman, it'd be a million. You know, there's sexism there.
Yeah.
Excuse me, but that's very rude.
Get out of here, broad.
It's also dangerous. Please put those guns
and
down.
And where does your personal connection and love for comics stem from?
Well, I read Batman as a kid, and I was encouraged to read everything. So, you know, I wasn't discouraged from reading comics. I never heard about anti-comics programs or anything like that when I was a kid. It was just not a question. So, then I outgrew them, but then at one point I needed a job, and I got a job in a comic book store across the street working for Ray Walsh, who still owns the Curious Bookshop. But it had a comics, for many years it had a comics section. It's got a small one again now, but I was the first manager, quote-unquote, of the comic section of that bookstore. And I realized this was a lot of fun. And when I also realized I couldn't live on the wages they paid, I moved over here. And that's when Spider-Man number one was stolen. Then the rest, you know, I figured I was motivated. I had the skills from the bookstore and just kept working on it.
You were never discouraged to read reading comics as a kid, and you never really saw an anti-comic sentiment. But there is kind of a, not anti-comic, but they're not looked at necessarily in the same vein as literature or great art when it is great literature and it is great art. Do you think attitudes have changed or shifted at all?
In general, attitudes have basically changed away from the whole idea that comics are some kind of evil thing that are going to rot your mind, and you know, literally people compared comics to all kinds of drugs and stuff in the 50s. But the attitude that comics are trivial is still well with us in people of the older generation. I'm 65. My generation has accepted comics pretty much, but those old geezers, you know, they're still having trouble with it.
And that was Randy Scott. He's the assistant head of the library special collections. He spoke with Kern State Emmanuel Berry about MSU's diverse comic book art collection.